Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the post-lunch session of day two of this webinar. Very many thanks to all the people who are patiently sitting with us through this webinar. Today in the afternoon session, we have got three papers being presented, and all three, I think, are very, very apt and contemporary in their nature. We have Commander Mridul Pandey presenting a paper on understanding the data requirements for incorporating predictive maintenance on naval systems. We have Captain Vishnu Mahindra, who's speaking of data curation and cleaning using artificial intelligence. And then we have Captain Gaikwad and Lieutenant Commander Mathur speaking of application of AI in testing and health monitoring of gas turbines. So over to the moderator for starting the session.
Our first paper presentation is from Commander Mridul Pandey. Commander Mridul Pandey was commissioned in Indian Navy as an electrical officer on 1st January 2006 as part of 18th Naval Engineering Course. The officer has undertaken afloat appointment as DLO TEED, Electrical Officer INS Vinash, Staff Officer Electrical, Workup Team East, and DLO INS Sabal. The officer underwent MTech from DIIT Pune in guided missiles and was subsequently posted as Missile TP at INS Tunir, as OIC Kashmir and SIL Missile. He is presently posted at IHQ MOD PMG CMS as Delhi as part of Project Manager for Combat Management System. So you may present your paper.
Is my presentation visible?
I am able to see your presentation, sir. Please continue.
Good afternoon, sir. Permission to continue, sir. Commanding Officer INS Valsura.
Good afternoon, Pandey. Please start.
Commanding Officer INS Valsura, senior officers and officers. Based on today's and yesterday's discussions, data and predictive maintenance seem to top the webinar's word cloud. This presentation is aimed primarily at the user, that is me, and the audience invites to understand what exactly happens to the data collated before it is subjected to the AI/ML models for implementing PDM solutions so that we can take well-informed decisions before progressing with the PDM alternative. The flow of the presentation is as shown. It is aimed at comprehending how data is transformed from numbers to intelligence. Also, a use case incorporating some of the theoretical aspects discussed here has been discussed along with lessons learned while seeking solutions from the industry for the constraints faced. As we are well aware, philosophy followed for maintenance has graduated from breakdown maintenance of 1940s, wherein a machine was allowed to operate till it broke, at which point the maintenance was undertaken, which was known as corrective maintenance. The next step in 1950s onwards was planned preventive maintenance, where maintenance is carried out as a planned activity and is time-based. It used the computing power available then for record keeping and scheduling of maintenance activities. The scheduled maintop routines can be considered as an example. The present scenario is using CBPM, that is condition-based preventive maintenance, which started somewhere in 70s, 80s, and utilized computing power available then for aiding the maintenance. The condition of an equipment is monitored at regular intervals to schedule a maintenance activity. For example, SPM reading-based greasing or replacement of bearings. The aim now is to proceed from CBPM to predictive and finally prescriptive maintenance. I will not dwell much into advantages of predictive maintenance and why it is required, as the topic was covered in detail yesterday by Colonel Kuldeep Yadav. So an alternative to the present CBPM and PPM based maintenance routines is incorporation of predictive maintenance. It involves technology intensive setup with additional sensors, data loggers, and adapts analysis to offer a maintenance schedule based on past and present condition of the component or equipment. Well, frankly speaking, predictive maintenance doesn't require anything more than an informal mathematical computation. So, for example, we need to find M and C for a well-known line equation, which is Y is equal to MX plus C, based on historical data and trending, And as data scientists put it across, we find MNC and keep it in the pocket. Now give them any input X, they will give a predicted output Y. So PDM uses cognitive technologies like AI and data science on the collated data to find out this MNC and tell when the machine conditions are at a state of needed repair or even replacement, so that maintenance can be performed exactly when and how it is most effective. So just by the fifth slide in this presentation and all the ensuing discussions yesterday, we are now well aware that predictive maintenance incorporating artificial intelligence is the answer. And data is the key to the answer. But what is the question? And how do we frame the correct questions? And what happens with the data collated from sensor, data logger, etc.? That is what I'll try to cover in this presentation. It is to give an idea to all the users who would be required to incorporate AI, ML, and data science techniques as maintainers, either through industry or academia, and finally, through captive manpower. So if data is the key, then how to approach this data to make it useful is the whole essence of data science. Data science forms a precursor to implementing any PDM technique. Data science may be termed as an assortment of tasks encompassing collect, store, process, describe, and finally, mathematically model a problem statement. The first step towards building an effective PDM model is to list down the problem statement as a set of questions whose answers the solution should provide. Some of these questions are as flash. Further, it is extremely important to comprehend that not all problems can be effectively solved by predictive maintenance. Certain prerequisites that need to be considered during a problem statement are: the problem needs to be predictive in nature. That is, there should be a clear target variable or an outcome to predict and should have a clear path of action to prevent failures when they are detected. The availability of operational history comprising both normal operations and failures should be available. In case failures are minimal, availability of the subject matter expert or domain expert or the OEM is extremely critical to interpret anomalies as possible failures. SME is also required for the data analyst to understand and interpret the data for building an effective solution. Any learning depends on quality of what is being taught and ability of the learner. Predictive models learn from historical data and predict the future outcome with certain probability. The accuracy of a model depends on relevance, quality, and sufficiency of the training and test data. The feature characteristics, that is type, density, distribution, etc., of the new data should also match the training and test data. Coming to data relevance, the relevant data sources of PDM need to include failure history, as the application needs to learn about the component's normal operation to declare outliers as deviations from normal operating conditions and thus indicate probable failure. Availability of repair history, details of components replaced, repair activities undertaken, as these events record the degradation pattern. The machine operating conditions gathered through sensors has a key assumption in predictive maintenance that a machine's health degrades over a period of time. The sensor data contains this time-varying feature that captures this aging pattern. And finally, the equipment metadata, which involves make, model, manufacture date, and other technical specifications. Thus, two types of data sets which emerge are temporal or time varying and static data, both of which need to be incorporated for building a model. Next comes the quality of the data. The data should be complete with minimum missing values. Its reliability should be confirmed by SME. The EDA or exploratory data analysis is often utilized to check the data quality, so as to see whether we need to realign a data collation or whether we need to rework an initial hypothesis itself based on the analysis of the data collated. Post the data collation, quality and relevance checks comes the feature engineering and feature extraction. However, the data needs to be pre-processed prior feature engineering. This includes filling up of missing values, normalization of predictor attributes, joining and mapping of data, timestamping, and indexing of data. The data is to be finally presented in form of rows and columns, with last column being the target of the dependent, that is the y variable, and all other independent variables forming the other columns, which will be the x's or the inputs. Feature engineering involves abstracting the most important features or independent variables, which contain the maximum possible information, and discarding redundant or correlated variables. This is often termed by data scientists as dimensionality reduction, which ultimately leaves us with only orthogonal or non-correlated attributes as the data source. And as predictive maintenance involves predicting failures over a period of time based on features that represent machine behavior over a historical time, time window based lag features, which can be average, cumulative sums, variance, standard deviation, count of outliers, they also need to be extracted. The rolling window aggregate or the tumbling aggregate can be used for deriving these features. The value of lag, that is W here, depends on the initial goal objective as to how far in future does the model have to predict an outcome or a failure. The window size here is derived often through experimentation and with the help of domain expert. The data preparation effort discussed so far should lead the data to be organized as shown. The training, test, and validation data should also have a similar logical schema. The final task prior modeling the data is the requirement of labeling of target variable. This process is dependent on the modeling technique. In turn, the modeling technique depends on business problems and nature of available data. That is, whether we need to predict normal or abnormal operation, which in this case is classification, where herein is shown as binary classification, or we need to predict the remaining useful life, which is here is assessed by a regression technique. So now we have clean and quality data available with extracted features and labeled target variable. The data processing is nearly done. We now need to apply the AI/ML algorithms to turn these rows and columns of data into actionable insight. How do we model the data? The techniques we have been hearing since yesterday, like linear regression, SVM, multi-class classification, two-class classification, can now be deployed on the data. A cheat sheet courtesy Microsoft Azure can be referred to address the abundance of choices or methods for modeling. Well, I will not be dwelling much into these techniques, not because of lack of time, but to the fact that I'm not qualified enough to go in detail of these techniques. However, this does give us an idea that once the data is processed and ready, there are multitude of options that can be applied to give actionable intelligence. Coming to the C trials or validation. The entire data set, now in the form of table with rows and columns, with labels across each row indicating normal operation, failures, remaining useful life, is divided into a set of training and testing data to validate the ML algorithm or the technique which we have utilized. To just touch upon one of the methods used for validation, which is called K-fold cross-validation, which randomly divides the entire data into K-folds or partitions and runs the algorithm over entire set as an iterative process. Every time, part of data is considered training data and one partition as test data. Cross-validation is a technique for assessing how the results of statistical analysis will generalize to an independent data set. It is primarily used in settings where the goal is prediction, and one wants to estimate how accurately a predictive model will perform in practice. Just a quick word on hyperparameters, which was also discussed yesterday. During this validation, certain parameters known as hyperparameters govern how the training happens. Now, these are not model parameters derived from the input data, but are pre-assigned based on the model being utilized. For example, in case of a neural network, how many layers should be there? How many clusters should be there in unsupervised learning? And what is the allowed learning rate? And so on. Finally, we are at refit completion, and we need to evaluate the model's success. To evaluate a model's success, various techniques are used, which are dependent on what has been used. Regression for predicting a continuous value like temperature or classification, or classification technique for anomaly detection, or true or false, or submit, or optimal or suboptimal. The quality of regression model is how well its predictions match up against an actual value, and it is evaluated through the mean error. That can be mean absolute error or mean squared error. The evaluation of a classification module is undertaken through a confusion matrix, which is as shown here, by primarily seeing the results with respect to accuracy, which is true positive plus true negative upon total positive. Recall, which is true positive to all the actual positives in the data set, which essentially means how many relevant items were selected by the model. Precision, the true positive to all positives predicted by the model, which again means how many selected items are relevant. And finally, since recall and precision would always go in opposite direction, we have got another metric known as F score, which is a harmonic mean between precision and recall, so as to balance both the P and R values to have an optimal metric. So now we come to dog watches, that is the practical class. With the theoretical background of data analysis covered, a small part is now being discussed as to how a predictive maintenance algorithm has been configured using similar flow of framework of data collation, pre-processing, feature engineering, modeling, training, testing, and validation. For a weapon control module of a fire control system, it has been done by an OEM in collaboration with an industry partner. The algorithm is being developed for the WCM, comprising three specific PCBs, that is system controller, synchro, and discrete PCB. The weapon control module performs functions like controlling a gun mount laying angles with predicted aiming points using available target data, stabilization data, performing target estimation, sending engagement commands, and receiving tellbacks from the gun mount. The algorithm would provide the capability to constantly monitor all the three PCBs in the module, the temperature of CPU boards, voltages and currents from various discrete, continuous, and logic commands being generated through the PCBs, and raise alerts in case of deviations or anomalies observed during operations real time. The project has been undertaken in two phases. As part of phase one, data logger was installed on board ships for data collection. The data being collated from the weapon control module comprises various parameters which are to be monitored or training is to be carried out. The PCB status, gun angles, threshold deviations, board temperatures, etc. A proprietary solution classifies these parameters into six primary operating characteristics, that is measurements, alarms, trips, faults, function states, and calibrations. As an example of operating characteristics, if the data has continuous time series values available, they are classified as measurements by the solution, and it is possible to have both early warning capabilities as well as predictive capabilities for these parameters. A sample data set from a PCB sending engagement commands and receiving a tellback to the gun mount is shown here. Subsequently, a set of key business questions were hypothesized based on the data structure, the asset, and the use case understanding. Against each question, the dependency and feasibility of having predictive capability was marked. The questions were formulated with the help of OEM inputs. A few of the questions which came out from this data, not only the synchro data, also the data from system controller as well as discrete PCB, are as shown. Now, the data quality checks undertaken revealed that good quality data was available with less than 1% missing values, and reliability of the data was confirmed by the OEM. Processes like timestamp formatting, joining of data were undertaken as data pre-processing techniques. Feature extraction and EDA was undertaken on the data to extract additional features such as identifying of spikes, deviation-based features, and cumulative components with the help of tumbling window-based lag features, which was discussed before, like aggregate over current system usage and total system usage. Subsequent to these data pre-processing and EDA analysis undertaken on the data, a key constraint which emerged towards accurately predicting a failure was non-availability of failure data. That is to say, all three PCBs have never failed. So based on the data availability and accounting for non-availability of failure as a constraint, two algorithms providing predictive value for CPU and board temperature of the system controller PCB and four algorithms for voltage, current, and logic parameters, which are available from discrete and synchro PCB, have been developed on the training dataset. The models developed for CPU and board temperature prediction have been validated with 95% accuracy. Owing to non-availability of failure data, an unsupervised learning through k-means clustering has been utilized to identify clusters of normal and abnormal operations of synchro and discrete PCB dataset. The module has been designed towards developing an anomaly score, and every time a data point falls in anomaly cluster, the module would update the anomaly score till the time PCB fails and is replaced by the user, thus establishing the failure anomaly score as a benchmark. While the model developed for CPU and board temperature has been validated 95% accuracy, the k-means clustering utilized to design the anomaly detection has provided a way ahead to incorporate a PDM algorithm on systems having minimal or no failure. The anomaly detection model, aside from indicating to the user that a problem may occur if the anomaly score is constantly rising, it would also serve as an annotation technique for future usage. Here we see there are two clusters which correspond to no anomaly cluster, and the remaining cluster which would correspond to anomaly cluster, which would depend primarily as and when these the values breach the lower control limit or the upper control limit, which has been decided by the OEM. Now, based on this pilot project, I would like to share a few lessons which have been learned. The legacy systems fitted on board may not have inbuilt facilities by which it can generate the required information or data needed for predictive maintenance or interfacing with maintenance networks. While solutions are available with the industry, it would be prudent for the Indian Navy to incorporate these solutions through OEM support instead of taking a piecemeal approach. The route wherein an OEM like Bell is developing a POC for an existing system would ensure continual support for the systems in future, as well as optional scalability and getting ruggedized hardware. Second point is, success of using PDM is highly dependent on data collated for analysis. Therefore, data acquisition from multiple sensors, systems onto maintenance networks, and then implementation of requisite hardware software set up for collating and processing this data, live data, is highly technologically intensive. While requisite computing prowess for handling the data can be sourced, the acquisition of data requires additional uses of new technology. That is, for example, IoT sensors. The IoT sensors with added security features, wherever permissible without violating the IP rights, need to be utilized. The development of secure IoT sensors using physical unclonable function, which is an area of research already at IIT Kanpur, can be pursued by the Navy to proceed and have better models of predictive maintenance. Modeling or PDM algorithms of equipment on ships is still at a very nascent stage and needs dedicated R&D support from the industry and OEMs, as most of the weapon and sensor systems are not truly indigenized and hence comprise large number of imported components. Despite data being available, the logging of data or its retrieval into required format has intellectual property rights challenges. Hence, it is imperative to have indigenous system capable of providing the required data set, as well as incorporating built-in data loggers with no IP rights infringement issues in all future acquisition. The issue was also brought out by commanding officer INS Valsura yesterday, wherein he said that it is time to incorporate these in our NSQRs or JSQRs. The framework of such data loggers may be addressed by industry reps based on the PDM solutions available on this shelf. Training the manpower needs absolutely no emphasis. For maintenance of this technology, technology-intensive infrastructures is a challenging task. The Navy needs to devise a mechanism for training a large number of personnel with basics and up to mid-level data science courses. This is an extremely important step, as it would be the key to defining the business problem statement and the end goal objectives, which ultimately is the start point for developing a PDM solution for any equipment or machine. A general misconception with data science is that we have a lot of data. But again, the important question towards building a PDM solution is whether the data, available data, is labeled or not. The earliest possible availability of labeled data as optimal or suboptimal, successful or failure, would be a key requirement in imbibing PDM techniques for majority of the systems. While an unsupervised learning-based approach has been followed during development of the above-mentioned PDM technique for anomaly scoring, the actual results would be visible post years of its usage. As a capacity-building initiative, the Indian Navy needs to focus on data annotation and labeling as a key building block for successful PDM. With that, I have completed. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir, for the informative session.
Welcome.
Kamala Pandey, thank you for a very well researched paper.
Your video is not visible, sir.
Can you hear?
Am I audible?
You're audible to me, sir.
Okay, not to worry. Pandey, we have been working on predictive maintenance algorithms here at Vasu also. One of the key problems that we faced, that in case there is a gradual degradation of the equipment performance or equipment parameters, a DB scan or an anomaly scan will lead you nowhere, because the system by auto learning will think that this is the new natural state of the equipment. Sure. What are your views on this?
So could you please repeat the question, sir?
My question is that if you are using a DB scan or an anomaly detection system,
sure,
while trying to figure out a predictive maintenance algorithm,
sure,
if the system is slowly and gracefully degrading,
sure,
what will happen is the degraded parameters becomes a new trend and there is no anomaly detected. So how do you... What are your views on this? How should we go about having a predictive maintenance algorithm?
Sir, in case
example, I just give you an example.
Sir, understood.
True example. Let us say the starting current of a motor is 100 amps. After 6 months, and you are running the system, slowly the starting current starts creeping up from 100 to 100.1 to 100.2, and then it let's say it comes to 120 amps over a period of 6 months. As far as any predictive maintenance algorithm is concerned, because it is happening so gradually and so slowly over a period of time, it takes this as the new normal. So your anomaly scans will show you nothing.
So actually, that is why the whole idea of having an anomaly detection framework, wherein we said that it's been done through unsupervised learning and a clustering methodology, it is primarily been done because there is no labeled data. However, in this case, for example, sir, we can have labeled data wherein we say that if we know that starting current, we can always have a UCL and LCL, so upper control limit and lower control limit, which tells that at what point of time should it be considered an anomaly. For example,
sorry for interrupting. If you use the upper current limit and a lower current limit, then why do you need an AI?
No, sir, that's what I was saying.
In which you put a upper current limit and a lower current limit. You say the upper current limit crosses XYZ, the motor needs to be maintained or rewound or something has to be done to
it. Sir, exactly, sir. Now, in case of UC and LCL, sir, it is not necessary that every time the upper current limit or the lower current limit is breached, it might not lead to a failure. However, it will be an anomaly. That is, if the standard operating procedure was, it is supposed to have within 105 to 95 amps, this would have been clustered as a non-anomalous background. Even if it goes to 106, it might not fail, sir, but it will be clustered as an anomaly, sir. And over a period of time, that is how we are trying, in case of unlabeled data, that is how we are trying to justify an anomaly or a non-anomalous region. And as and when the motor fails, we will, and if we keep adding on this anomaly score, every time the motor crosses 105, an anomaly score is generated, but the motor has not failed. At some point of time when the motor fails, we will have a labeled data in form of if this is the anomaly score, the motor fails. So this will be our new variable based on which we go ahead and build our next models. So it is more of an annotation scheme, which is helping us label the unlabeled data and subsequently build a predictive model on that.
Thank you.
I would like to add up on this question that actually, well, the standard operating clustering procedures like DBScan or even K-means, they do a intercluster distance, they measure the intercluster distance to find an anomaly, mostly Euclidean distance. So at that particular time, it's very difficult for catching a performance deviation in such things. But you have talked about in your session about something called synthetic features. So if you are able to track synthetic features based on trending of the parameters, and do trending over that trending, if you are doing a clustering algorithm on that synthetic feature, then it will be helpful in such case. Thank you, sir, for your informative session, sir.